Welcome to Om Times TV, a division of Om Times Media and Broadcasting. Welcome to the No BS Spiritual Book Club's live streaming interview series, where leading new thought teachers, speakers, and authors share the intimate stories behind the 10 best spiritual books that inspired them the most on their spiritual journey. From well-known classics to hidden gems you might never have heard of, the No BS Spiritual Book Club saves you time and money by sharing reliable recommendations from those who've walked the path before you. The No BS Spiritual Book Club, the only No BS guide to the best spiritual books to inspire your own journey of self-discovery. Here's your host, founder of the No BS Spiritual Book Club, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello and welcome. Joining me today to share the 10 best spiritual books that inspired her the most on her life journey is clinical psychologist, spiritual teacher, writer, mystic, and transmissional word slinger, Christina Donnell. Christina is the author of two multi-award-winning books, Transcendent Dreaming, Stepping Into Our Human Potential, which chronicles her radical spiritual awakening through a form of dreaming that expands consciousness and allows dreamers to identify with the intelligence that animates the universe. And the second book is Encounters with Living Language, Surrendering to the Power of Words, in which she shares 92 consciousness-expanding encounters with language that she experienced between 1997 and 2015, which were inspired by a message from the invisible world. Christina Donnell, welcome.
Thank you, Sandy. Lovely to hear your voice again, and lovely to be with you this afternoon.
And a special
thing for you.
Special treat to be discussing words with you, of all people.
Yes, we both love words.
Yes. So you're a very selective reader in that if the lines of a book do not land inside you and transport your consciousness, you rarely make it past the first 30 pages. Was it always thus, or is this only since you had your unusual encounters with language?
It's a great question. I suspect it's been lifelong. And the reason why I say that, when I think back to higher education, graduate school, writing articles, anything that didn't lead to inciting and enthralling and transporting my consciousness, I felt disconnected from it, including my own writing. So even when I would go through drafts of journal articles, it was like eating styrofoam. So I think this has been going on a very long time, but it's very clear to me, you know, over a half a century on the planet, that the first 30 pages, if the words do not invigorate or enthrall or touch me, it's like eating styrofoam, and I don't read past the 30 pages, which is actually most of our spiritual books at this time in our world.
Well, that's why the book club exists, because
I know
there is a lot of material out there that is, you know, it's less than substantive and quite mild and meek. I mean, people are looking to be guided and to be ignited. And if a book doesn't do that, I'm like you, you know, and I find that it's the simplest books, the simplest language, the simplest concepts that leave the mark for me.
Yes, because the simplest has space between the words in which the consciousness can be transported. Which is why parsimony, the coming down to, you know, it's Zen-like, to what is most simple, often has the greatest impact.
Yeah, yeah. So you end up reading probably, what, about three books a year?
Yeah, and thus far this year, I've not read one.
Okay.
And so, I won't name the author that I picked up, and the first 30 pages, I set it back down.
So you're so discerning then. How were you able to distill your list down to just 10 books?
I would love to hear everyone's answer to that, because it's very difficult. It's very difficult because I've read genius poets for years, and I love genius poets because they can transport, engage, enthrall the consciousness to move in a way that allows you to have a new experience. And yet none of them made the list. And what ended up making the list, it's a very interesting thing to go through a test like this. And I think I said before, everyone should have to look at what are your favorite 10 books, because it really puts you through an exercise. And when I look at what I landed on, every single one of them was about books that move as we are tuned as human beings. We have these five senses. We have our eyes, our ears, our nostrils, our tongue, our senses. They all were engaging that in order to invigorate my senses, which would shift my perception and led my awakening. And that is what my 10 books ultimately ended up being, even though I have a whole library of books.
Yeah. And that is really the whole point of it. It is those books that moved you on your path, opened up, you know, new areas of thinking and new directions that you could take.
Yes. And nourishment along the way and solace along the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So let's look at your first book, which you call The Best Instruction Manual for Becoming Fully Human. And it is The Spell of the Sensuous, Perception and Language in a Modern Human World by David Abraham, published in 1996.
This is my go-to book when I feel disconnected from the larger continuum. You know, from the breathing earth, from the stars, from the wind, it's my go-to book because he so beautifully lays out that it is only through our five senses. Again, vision, which we all are dominant in, hearing, nostrils, touch, skin, taste, that we can actually enter back into a relationship with the larger continuum of the whole. Because that is the only way human beings can be participatory. It's the only way not only can we touch, but that we are touched by this larger rhythm that we are living in, the soup that we are living in, and it can absolutely invigorate our body and shift our perception. And this book, I would suggest to anyone, after you read it, go outside. You'll never see outside the same. Mm-hmm. You will learn to understand that a blade of grass sings, that mountains sweat, and that you can touch and taste and feel different times of the day in the larger continuum, of which our linear world, where we're disconnected, we don't even think about these things. That is why this book landed on my top 10 list.
You know, as you're talking, you know, I've thought about what must it like to be deaf? What must it be like to be blind? But suddenly I was thinking, as you were talking, what must it be like to have no senses at all? And it's unimaginable.
And Sandy, are we to some degree not heading there in humanity as we spin off into being disconnected from the larger continuum of the whole. It's like our senses are under-exercised muscles, absolutely under-exercised. And the sensory system, when it bypasses the mind, actually leads us to awakening our quantum nature. So it's, to me, it's so deeply important for people who want to spiritually awaken, to have more joy, to have more well-being, to come back and be connected.
Yeah, yeah. Book number two, Airs and Dreams, an essay on the imagination of movement by one of the most significant French thinkers, the philosopher Gaston Bachelard, published in 1943.
I've read everything that has been translated from French into English from Gaston Bachelard. He's like a soul brother to me. And again, not unlike the first book, Spell the Sensuous, he's a philosopher and comes from science, but he's a deep, deep, deep lover of poetry and aesthetics. And he lays out in this book, it's Air and Dreams. So he's only speaking about the element of air and its power, the genius writers have used to transport consciousness, which leads to spiritual awakening. He talks about fire, earth in other books, but of course I'm a dreamer, so air is my element, and it's why I made the top 10 list. Gaston Bachelard is not an easy read. None of his books are an easy read, and yet because they demand that you read them slowly so you can be in the space, so that the words can disrobe and shift the consciousness. But he uses all the genius poets, Shelley, Nietzsche, Rilke, Valerie, to transport the consciousness, and you can't help but feel it and be enlivened by it. And, you know, for me, when, you know, it's such a funny thing. It's like, do we go to a book to make sense of the world? Do we go outside to make sense of the world? But to make sense of the world, the direct literal meaning is to enliven the senses, to connect to the world. And Bachelard has this extraordinary, intoxicating gift to do that.
Mm. Book number three is your favorite book on writing, In Soul in Language, On the Art of Nonfiction and Writer's Life by Stephen Howard Booner, published in 2010.
Yes, yes. For whatever reason, I think it's directly related to the soul. I have been reading books on writing since probably age 8, 9, 10. And this, hands down, is my absolute favorite. And of course, why is it my favorite? Because he is speaking to the writer about the importance of embodying language and embodying the invisibles, the archetypes, the forces underneath the language. He talks about duande, the you know, kinetic spirit that a writer connects to. And unless that writer is connected to it, they can't pass that transmission on to the reader, which is what allows a reader to actually have an experience greater than just reading a how-to book, of which this certainly is not. So it's filled with four writers, but I recommend this book not only to writers, but non-writers. It's because it's filled with wisdom about touching the invisibles and being touched by the invisibles in order to be enlivened by the spirit of something in order to show up and be in the world. That is why it's my hands down favorite book.
Okay.
And he was a renegade. He was an absolute renegade. And you'll see it in the book, but it is definitely a book worth reading. It's nourishing.
So book number four is In the Company of Rilke, Why a 20th Century Visionary Poet Speaks So Eloquently to 21st Century Readers. That's quite a title. By Stephanie Delrick, published in 2009.
Yes, yes.
Why does he speak so eloquently to 21st Century readers, do you think?
Right, 1,000 years later. You know, that's our genius poets. Mm-hmm. They wrote from a place of being enlivened and from being connected to the forces and living language and transport the consciousness. That is his gift, and he's speaking 1,000 years later. What I liked about Stephanie Dorwick's book, because I've read, and again, anything translated, including all of his letters and all of his correspondences, and sometimes Rilke can be very dark, but he always is moving to the unseen that is behind our everyday world and leads you back into your interiority to actually experience the invisible that brings you back out into the world. And Stephanie Dorwick captures that in this book. So you can read a bunch of Rilke, but you could also just read this book where she captures so beautifully. She obviously, very, very deep student of Rilke, captures his genius, his visionary ability to language that which is not out here. It's inside of us and of the earth, and yet is connected to all of this. And she languages his progression as a writer and capturing this, of which we all know he has, because he's one of our genius writers.
Number five is, you say, a must read for anyone called to the path of love. The book is Gandhi the Man, the story of his transformation, by Eknath Iswaran. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
I don't know how to pronounce it either.
Published in 1973. I mean, lots of books have been published about Gandhi. What is it about this one?
I actually have not read any other book on Gandhi, so I can't say how this one is different. But what I really liked about it was it wasn't about his politic. It was about his transformation and consciousness. So the book takes you through from a very young man to being the spiritual leader that he was, what that transformation that he underwent looked like. And that is what caught my eye. And I do believe Gandhi is probably our greatest spiritual figure of the last century. You know, the Dalai Lama is in here, but Gandhi, through a path of love and through nonviolence, secured sovereignty and freedom for 400 million Indians from Great Britain at that time. When Gandhi sat in prayer, the violence would subside. When Gandhi met with generals of Great Britain who hated him, who jailed him, who tried to silence him, he was just simply in his love. And generals said, be careful when you take an interview with this man, because he'll get inside you. He will get inside you. And Gandhi was jailed many times. And he said, I'm writing from my sanctuary. I can't remember the jail he was in. I'm writing from my sanctuary. He is the embodiment of the path of love. And he's the embodiment of the path of love through nonviolence and somehow secured sovereignty and freedom for 400 million Indians who were never violent during a very violent revolution. So I think it's an extraordinary example. You know, here in the U.S., we're going to have another election where it's all going to be about us and them and othering and vitriolic. So I just think it's this place, anyone on the spiritual path, come here to absolutely drink in and imbibe how you can be in your love in all of this hatred and all of these other beliefs.
Book number 6, a book that demonstrates the importance of sound in human awakening. The World is Sound, Music, and the Landscape of Consciousness by the German writer, jazz critic, radio and concert producer, Joachim Ernst Behrendt, published in 1983.
I don't think, as a voyager in consciousness, as a spiritual student endeavoring, you have to come home to the power of sound. You have to come home to the power of sound. And this book is exquisite in bringing us to the world is all sound. It's all vibration. It's all frequency. And in the listening, how it transports the consciousness. And what's interesting, the eyes, our eyes visualize, conceptualize. Our ears receive, take in, feel, transport. Also our ears, even though our consciousness can be transported by sound, right? Like sound healing, sound. Our ears also are the sensory organ that keeps us balanced and in equilibrium. You know, when our ears are not in equilibrium, we're dizzy, we're whatever. So it has this sensory system has the capacity to move beyond the mind, to be in the felt sense of the body, while at the same time grounding us in our everyday world and in our equilibrium. And this book gives extraordinary examples of that, all the way down to sound awakens the quantum nature in the human being, of which I absolutely find to be a truth. So I feel in spiritual endeavoring, you have to come to sound at some point. You have to come to opening and awakening this extraordinarily receptive capacity. Even Rilke said, we can listen to a beautiful piece of music and it will transport our consciousness. And just at the point where we can't any longer take it in, we say, oh, I have joy and well-being, versus staying with it into the multidimensional quantum nature that could open something new. And this book speaks to all of that, I think, in a deeply beautiful way.
In your written description, which, we're contracting everything down to fit this time period that we have, there are much longer descriptions on the website if you want to go and see them, read them. But in yours, you said, he also honors the experience of the sound of the word, not from a rationalized place, but the deep experience of it in the body.
Yes, yes. Zen koans, where your mind can't wrap around it, but as you go deeper, he speaks to all of that. The landscape of consciousness, music and the landscape of consciousness. Sound and the exploration of the landscape of consciousness It's uncharted, and it's really important because it gets us to get the mind to recede where the body can actually awaken at the cellular nature.
Yeah. In the beginning was the word.
In the beginning.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short break now. You're listening to a No BS Spiritual Book Club interview and sharing the 10 books that had the biggest influence on her life journey today is clinical psychologist, spiritual teacher, writer, mystic and transmissional word slinger. We're going to find out more about that phrase afterwards. Christina Donnell, who is the author of two multi-award winning books, Transcendent Dreaming, Stepping Into Our Human Potential, and Encounters with Living Language, Surrendering to the Power of Words. We'll be back with more of Christine Donnell's 10 Best Spiritual Books after this break.
Om Times TV.
Maya Angelou once said that there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. And when I'm not hosting Om Times Media's flagship radio show, What Is Going On, and the No BS Spiritual Book Club, I help people share their untold stories. Books are my life, my joy, and my passion. And there is no greater reward than helping aspiring writers get their books out of their heads and into the hands of those who are waiting to read them. If you feel that you have a book in you, but don't know where to begin, visit sedgbeer.com. Click on the Work With Me tab and find out how my experience helping others tell their stories might be just what you've been looking for. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com.
Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself. Invest in your brand. And then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back, Christina Donnell, book number 7, The Music of Life. The Inner Nature and Effects of Sound by Inayat Khan, 1977.
He is a timeless spiritual teacher transcending all traditions. And he brings us again, like the book before, The World is Sound, he brings us back to that we are a chord of the music in the universe. And this book is, not only are we a chord embedded in the source and the music of creation, he brings us to how to be in harmony with our everyday world from this place of sound. I also love this book because he understood the living word. He absolutely understood the living word. He understood that It has 1,000 roots that go into the invisibles. And if we can actually bring it into the body and at the cellular nature, like we are a cord of the universe, that it can awaken the quantum nature. But why I love this book was how to be in harmony with our world.
Yeah.
How to be in harmony with our world. And it is from a sound perspective, but it's also about so much more because he's this perennial spiritual teacher.
Mm. I love what you said, as a spiritual teacher and musician of the soul, he tunes the hearts of readers to the divine harmony.
He does. He does. That and the, oh, that just gives me full chills because that is what the book is about. And so you can't help but feel it and experience it in reading his words.
Mm. So with book number 8, we are moving away from sound.
We're moving away from sound.
The World of Silence by Max Picard, 1948.
1948. This book is about the power of silence, and it's a must read. It's a perennial read for anyone who is a student of silence. And I don't think spiritual awakening can happen without silence, without the mind receding and being in the moment and being in the felt sense of silence. And what I love about this book is it's an invitation into the silence. It's an invitation into the importance of silence, that the world cannot exist without silence. And I've always said, yeah, in the beginning was the word, but no, in the beginning was the silence, and then the word, and then silence again, and then another explosion, and then the silence again, and then eventually babbling brooks and earth and whatever, and then silence. Silence is important. We go to bed every night. Does the night descend upon us, or are we embodied within it? Silence is so important to spiritual awakening and transformation, because silence is where everything returns to and also arises from. And the more we get comfortable with silence, the more we're in the felt experience, not the mind, felt experience of what is coming out and emerging from there, and also what is returning. So it's that place in spiritual transformation where the invisible or the unseen are starting to match the everyday manifestation, everyday word, where you're building the muscle to understand how this entire extraordinary manifestation, God, mystery, spirit, call it what you want, actually works. And silence is a huge piece of that. And he is perennial in talking about the importance of it. Even in here, he talks about, so written in 1948, he talks about, you got politicians who have a loud voice, there's no silence, and the result of what happens when people leave the silence. So it just, to me, it is a perennial book of honoring and returning the silence, and I think he invites it. He absolutely invites it.
Well, book number 9, also about silence, Silence, The Mystery of Wholeness by Robert Sardello, published in 2008.
Yeah, look at sound and silence, sound and silence. Max Picard's book is just perennial to understand silence, including silence in language, silence with your partner, so you can see what's going to emerge out of your partner versus some conditioned response. But Robert Sardello's book on silence is an instructional manual on how to enter silence, how to be deep in silence, how to absolutely feel the transformation that occurs when you're in that silence, and even which I always love this in spiritual endeavoring, and also what you will come up against when you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the silence, because the mind is going to want to come forward. And he just beautifully, in a lovely way, encourages people to witness it, to see it, and to keep going into the silence. And this book was really instrumental for me in writing Living Language, because I saw and witnessed in his writing what I had already experienced. But, you know, sometimes you need to see it to name what you've experienced, because you don't even know what you've experienced. That deep in that silence where past, present, and future fall away, that is where you move out of linear time, duality, and into non-dual consciousness. And I think he does a beautiful job as an instructional manual of guiding the spiritual endeavor, the student.
So your final book is Mysticism, A Study in the Nature and Development of Spiritual Consciousness by Evelyn Underhill, originally published in 1911.
All right, Sandy, has this landed on others? It surely has.
This has never been on this ever.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, in more than, goodness, 150 shows, 150 or more 10 best lists. This has never been mentioned.
Are you kidding me? I am shocked. I'm shocked.
And be proud that you're the one who mentioned it.
Yes. Because it's widely considered the best book on mysticism. All right. It's written by a woman. All right. We're not going to go there. But it's also a study in the nature and development of spiritual consciousness. This book leads voyagers in consciousness, people who are spiritually endeavoring, into the phases, developmental phases of expanding the consciousness. It uses extraordinary examples from all of the mystics over the centuries of their development. And you can see, you can begin to see there is a development. So not only do you get to hear from the mystics, the great living word of the mystics who are going through this development, but you get to see the phases of development. And I think anyone spiritually endeavoring, sometimes you need a roadmap in the development of consciousness and not some 21st century how-to, but this is how the great mystics have gone through these stages and phases of development, and here is what you'll experience, and you'll endure, And then this is the next phase. This book is extraordinary. It should be the Bible for anyone spiritually endeavoring.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it. This is exactly, again, you know, this is exactly what the book club is about, to find these hidden gems that have been overlooked.
And she's referenced by so many spiritual teachers. So, it's kind of like Sri Aurobindo and the mother. And Sri Aurobindo has all this publication, and the mother only has something you can download, but not publicized. So, the women are, for whatever reason, are just slow to be a part of the unfolding. I said that nicely.
You said it nicely, yes. Well, that's your 10 best list. Now let's talk a little bit about you. Transmissional word slinger. What does that mean to you?
I mean, so I'm going to go back to ensouling language. I'm going to go back to my top 10 list, and which is what has brought me here and which brought me to writing Living Language, including 92 Illuminations, that when you come into the body and you enliven the senses and you are connected to the whole, you are connected to everything that is underlying the whole. The word falls, because the word is in the evolution too. It's not just about representation. It falls into that invisible nature. It has 1,000 roots. It's invisible. It falls into that. It's connected to everything else. And to be transmissional is to speak from there, not from the mind. To speak from the body, the sensory, the quantum, multidimensional openness that the word absolutely allows us, but our senses also allow us that capacity, and our mind does not. So transmissional word slinger is speaking from a place that enlivens, enthralls, that is something greater than the mind. It enervates, it enlivens. And what human being doesn't want to be enlivened?
Isn't that what we live for?
Well, I think people think they live for joy and well-being. And joy and well, where does joy and well, does joy and well-being come from shopping on Amazon? Or does joy and well-being come from being connected at a larger level? And I would say that connection to the larger level is where spiritual awakening is emerging right now.
Yes.
Because I don't think shopping on Amazon and capitalism are going to be a long-term answer for humanity. I could be wrong.
I agree. Now, for nearly 3 decades, you studied Eastern traditions and the shamanic energy practices of the Kero Indians of Peru. How did your experiences, and you have been initiated by them, how did your experiences through that 30-year period inform your relationship with words?
It was huge, because the Caro live 18,000 feet elevation. That's above the tree line. Nothing grows there except for potatoes, and they herd alpaca. They pretty much live in meditation and language. Interesting, Quechua is not far from Sanskrit, so it's their language is absolutely connected. Example, the word for human being is runa in Quechua, runa, and runa means animated earth. Human beings are animated earth, and of course we are, because we're the same frequency, and every chemical that is in the earth is also inside of us. We indeed are animated earth. So they move in this consciousness where language is not primary, but the sensory system is primary. And because there's nothing else around, it's like a sanctuary or a monastery of silence. So when they navigate the mountains, they don't go, the name of the mountain, right? Representation, name of, they're no like, oh, I am here because I know this feeling of this mountain. I know how this mountain sweats. I know as I walk, because they're not nomadic, but they do walk all of these mountains. I know when the next avalanche is going to come because the mountain is sweating, and I can feel and taste and touch it, and I simply know it. I can't tell you how I know it, because language isn't even primary to me. The energy world is primary. That is the greatest gift I received in my 30 years of deeply being embedded there. And their hearts are so open and so pure. Why not? You don't have all this other. So there's
shopping on Amazon.
Yeah, they're not shopping on Amazon.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Your book, Encounters with Living Language, Surrender into the Power of Words. I have digested God knows how many words in my lifetime. I have read thousands of books in my work. And books and words have been my life, my passion. And your book took me to a place that I had never, ever been reading a book. It kind of stopped me dead, because I struggled to understand, to really try and, you know, experience what you experienced with words. And I couldn't. I felt it was beyond me. So it was quite a challenging book for me to read, because my goodness, there's something here about words that I've never known. And I don't know how one can convey that to people just listening to this, but there is something about that book that goes deeper and went deeper for me than any book I've ever read. I don't know whether you can articulate or explain to me what that was. What has that book got that it can do this to people?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Well, that one, that is the gift of the illuminations, right? That as I embody them and they spoke through me, they come through the book, which was its own shift in consciousness related to language. I've been a dreamer all my life, but to have language awaken to unity consciousness and the whole, the book has been out a year. I guarantee you it is ahead of its time. It's definitely ahead of its time. So I know why it stops people, and yet stops breath and moves people. And Sandy, in the beginning was the Word. And, you know, I had a near-death experience that was unexplainable to me that said, you're coming back down here to be the mouthpiece for the light behind the Word. And I didn't know what that meant. I mean, my God, I'm kind of scientific and pragmatic. So, and yet then I had these illuminations, which were shifting my consciousness through language. I think language, like everything else, is evolving. It is evolving. I actually sometimes say, did we fail language? How long have we failed language? It's been waiting to speak to what it has to offer. It has so much more to offer. And I think I just simply am here to be a mouthpiece for that. And what is it? A transmissional word slinger of that when you speak from a deep, deep level of connectedness that enlivens, you come home to the gift of the Word. The gift of the Word. Not just the Word, the gift of the Word. I think it's in its own emergence at this time. And both you and I know we don't have time to talk about it, but the new humans on the planet are needing to access this multidimensional quantum nature where the Word speaks. So it's here. This evolution, this evolving is here.
Well, you know, the phrase, I was about to say, we use words unconsciously. We really don't think about the deeper meanings of them. Of course,
we don't feel the deeper meaning.
We don't feel them. Right. So within that sentence is we use words. We use them.
Right? We use them. We use them.
And undervalue them.
We undervalue them. We weaponize them.
Yes, we do.
Weaponize them.
Yes, we do.
We, from the mind, from a very shallow place, use language to weaponize, to what have you, from duality consciousness. And I'm here to say language is in its own evolution and can take us further.
Well, you know, we are seeing this played out on the world stage. Every time a politician gets up, every time they deride their opponent, every time, you know, they try to, you know, give you a different opinion of someone by using certain, attaching certain words to them.
Yes.
You know, words are being used and words are being weaponized. As you say, there is something about words that I agree with you. I think I'm seeing these concepts about words, these new concepts coming at me from so many different ways, that there has to be some force in place that is moving our consciousness to listen, observe, feel, you know, because there's more here than we think.
Hmm.
And, you know, what I'm saying doesn't even begin to do it justice.
No, but that was beautiful because we both know in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is still here. The Word is the Babylon books, the stars that are shining, the winter 28 below zero, the silvery notes that I taste every day and I'm in the silence of and impact my words. Words have been here from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is still here. It's evolving. And can human consciousness meet it? I think the Word sleeps until people want to have an exchange and be enlivened by it. I'm here to say be enlivened by it, because what else are you going to be enlivened by? Amazon.com?
Yeah, exactly.
Politics? What are you going to be enlivened by?
Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. I do want to tell our viewers that if they want more of you, they can join your Sundays with Christina YouTube gatherings, where you share your wisdom and musings and moments of inspiration for sowing seeds. You are the founder and director of Winds of Change Association, a Minneapolis-based educational organization dedicated to offering programs that tend humankind's evolving consciousness. So people really should be checking out your website at christinadonnell.com. Christina, thank you so much for adding your 10 best books to the No BS Spiritual Book Club's library of recommendations.
And dear Sandy, I love you.
Thank you so much. That's it for today's show. This show is also available as a free downloadable podcast at ohmtimes.com, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Audible, and all the major podcast platforms. So if you prefer listening to viewing, or you would like to listen to this on the go, you know where to go. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I'll be back at the same time next week with another 10 best interview for the No BS Spiritual Book Club. Till then, it's goodbye from me, and a huge thank you to Christina Donnell.
And to you, Sandy. Ho.
Thank you.